You're listening to Connect Communities Podcast, recorded live in Stamford, Connecticut. If you'd like to know more about our community, stop by our website at www.connectcommunity.tv. Enjoy the message.
We've been in this series. It's a three-part series called Speak. And we're going to share principles from the scriptures about words, because we tend to pay attention to a lot of areas in our lives, and we just want to bring a focus right now in the beginning of the year to the value of words and the importance of paying attention to our words. So last week we started it, and we started it by observing the connection that exists between the first chapter in the book of John in the Bible and the first chapter in the book of Genesis in the Bible. How John draws from Genesis to remind us that words have creative power, that words are important, and not only that, that Jesus is the living Word of God here on the earth. And we alluded to two points last week. The first one is that words become flesh. That as we pronounce words, when we believe it in our hearts, they can materialize. And the second point we alluded is that words are important. They are fundamental to everything that we do. Words, they're connected to every single area of our lives. Everything we do involves words, virtually, right? Virtually everything we do. So today we want to continue with this thought, because as we gave you last week the nature of words, I want to continue today to share more on the utility side of words, drawing from Scripture's principles on how we can do better with our words. Because if words are that important, if words have creative power, if words have a lasting impact in our lives, not only in our lives, in the world. Think about how many words have shaped the world. There are some phrases that if I say here, you can recall. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Right? This is a phrase that resonates with all of us. The iconic phrase from Martin Luther King, I have a dream, right? That speaks to all of us and move the whole generation. Words have power to change the course of history. And if words, if we know, if we've seen, if we've witnessed it, how come that too often in our lives we don't pay due attention to the words that we speak? See, when it comes to the beginning of the year and we're drafting our resolutions and we're making our lists, we think about excelling at work. We think about having better relationships. We think about bettering our skills. We think about our talents. We think about things that we can do better, things that can come up higher in our lives, accomplishing tasks, making customers happy. We think about paying the bills, paying off debt. We think about remodeling the house. We think about vacations that we want to do, and we work for it. Think about working out in the beginning of the year. Looking good. The gyms are packed right now. Everybody wants to work out and look good. And those are all good things. They're all important things. But we continue to say the same words. We continue to speak in the same way, in the same manner. For the most part, when it comes to words, we tend to be reactive. For the most part, when it comes to words, we play as we go. We plan our calendar, we budget our money, we watch what we eat. But when it comes to our speech, we kind of run it on autopilot for the most part. So I want to encourage you today to plan our words. That this may be a year where we pay a little bit more attention on our speech and our words. See, if you've ever been in sales, or maybe you've had to draft a presentation or a speech at school, I doubt that you, when you were faced with either a sales pitch or a presentation at school, that you just decided, I'm just going to say whatever comes to mind when I get there. It's going to work out. I am great. I'm just going to do and say whatever comes to mind. No, if you're in sales, you listen. You listen for the customer. You listen and you try to observe if there's a need or if there's a problem that you can solve with your product or with your service. And then you carefully choose words that can bridge that gap, that can help your customer understand that you have something that they need. You have something that can solve their problem. You try to be positive. You try to choose words that will build a consensus and that will be persuasive. If you are preparing a presentation for work, maybe you know you have a presentation for your team at work or for school, you gather your material, you study it, you develop your presentation, you formulate your content because you want it to be memorable, because you want it to move the needle somewhere. You want it to have an impact. You choose your words carefully. And then you communicate it. You think about tone. You think about timing. You think about projection. You think about facial expressions. You think about what you do with your hands, right? You think about everything. And yes, it is regulated. Yes, at times it's rehearsed. But you do that because it matters. You do that because it counts. Have you ever heard of a wedding proposal that didn't involve words or a planned speech? It's kind of a letdown, right? Imagine a guy coming to a girl and going like, I got you something. Do you want it? What does that mean? It almost cheapens the gift, right? Because in that moment, the ring or whatever he's offering, it's a representation of what's in his heart. So the words actually carry more value, and the ring is the bling on the words, right? Same thing in a wedding. Think about a wedding without wedding vows, without the couple, you know, promising to love each other. Even if it's the traditional vows, those words are carefully selected. They're carefully drafted. Why? Because it matters. They choose the best words for that moment. They think about it. They research, especially if the couple writes their own vows. They think about their history and they think about the future, what they want to vow to each other. Why? Because those words will be a bond. It will be a covenant. They're looking into the future and they're committing to something. And you're thinking, well, JD, are you saying that I got to do that before I leave the house every morning? Plan out my conversations, write down outlines, and think about everything that I'm going to say. No, I'm not saying that. Even though for some of you, it might be a good idea. I suspect. I'm just showing you this, that you already know that your words matter. You've already been in situations when you knew that your words would have an impact. You've probably already been in situations when you knew you had to be careful with the words you were about to say or you were about to write because you knew your words mattered in that situation. What if we took the same approach for everyday life? What if we took the same approach as we go about our lives? I'm not saying the same kind of intensity and exercise it would apply to a wedding vow or a presentation. But the same observation, the same care for your words, on how you're speaking it, on how you are formulating your speech. I'm not saying that you have to, you know, spend hours preparing every conversation that you're going to have with a loved one, but pause. Listen to yourself. Analyze how you're saying something. Listen to your tone. Pay attention to your temper. And then ask yourself questions. How often do you use words that are sharp? How often in a day or conversations do you use words that are cutting? You know, what motivates your speech? Is it pride? Is it rage? Is it revenge? Are you speaking from a place of resentment? Are you speaking from a place of offense? See, this is not intended to be accusatory or condemning. This is the reality that we all face. We all deal with these emotions. These are emotions we all deal with. Maturity is not having those emotions. Maturity is recognizing them when they arise and keeping them under control. That's what maturity is. So this self-assessment is necessary. And it's a self-assessment that we got to keep in mind. Scripture says in Corinthians that let every man examine himself. And if we don't examine ourselves, if we let our speech run on autopilot, we are bound to slip up. And we're bound to allow those emotions to get the best of us and to take control of our speech. So it's better for us to pay attention. Because at one point or another, if you look back and you try to research your memory, we've all lost our temper at some point. We all, in the heat of the moment, said something that later we needed to apologize. So if we are proactive, we can try to minimize those instances where those emotions get the best of us. And hopefully avoid it altogether. James, the brother of Jesus, wrote some very direct words on this subject. He said this in James chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Now I find it interesting that James is using a tree and fruit, a pond or a source of water, and the water itself to exemplify or to show us what lies behind our words. What is motivating our words. And he's addressing a problem that we all face. Something that's really problematic about our condition. And we all face it. The fact that our words are not as coherent and our words are not always as consistent as we think they are. Or at least we would like for them to be. You know, I don't know if you've ever met somebody who was perfectly pleasant. A person who was kind and good and then because Facebook and Instagram is listening to you and they know everything you're doing, a day later or 2 days later, you get that awesome suggestion. Hey, people you might know this person. You're like, what a coincidence. I was just talking to them. It's such a coincidence that they just popped up on my screen. I'm going to say follow. I'm kidding. I don't know if they do that. But in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, they listen to your conversation. They're like, you know, we should shake hands online as well. You know, just go follow that person. Be friends online. You guys look freaked out right now. You know, this is a joke. I don't know if that really happens. I have no inside information. But somehow, when you meet somebody or, you know, they're like right there, you decide to friend them online, right? Or you follow them online. And the person who was perfectly pleasant, kind and nice, all of a sudden you see some of the things that they're writing online and you go like, whoa. I thought you were nice. I thought you were kind. I don't know if you've ever seen that or if you've ever experienced that. The truth is this. When it comes to friendship, when it comes to interaction, you would have seen it if you guys became friends. And if you became friends and there was no online interaction, you would have seen it down the line. You'd have seen that sign on that person 6 months later after a few cups of coffee, a few exchanges. But amid the pleasantries, amid the niceties, you would have exchanged your ugliness together. Because we all have that side, right? What's different now is that with social media, we get to see it on a unilateral form. Because let's be honest, not much has changed about our nature. Sometimes we say things we wish we didn't. Sometimes we say things that we wish we hadn't. But on the social media is something that I believe now everybody's kind of shocked, right? We're taking a step back collectively and going like, ooh, this is getting out of hand. Because we all see it and we don't know how to deal with it. And I think that the only difference here is not that social media is making people bad. It's not making people bad. It's simply a different platform for us to express and show yourselves. What would have happened in an exchange amid pleasantries and smiles and coffees with facial expressions and makeup now happens unilaterally behind the screen with black letters on a white comment box. And when we see it bare, when we see it without the makeup and the tone and the sound and the colloquialisms and the, you know what I mean, right? When we see it like that, it shocks us. But the reality is that this is an issue that we as people have been dealing with for a long time. In fact, this is the very issue that James is addressing, that he was addressing the church over about 2,000 years ago. See, even though our dynamics of exposure have changed, we are still the same and we still deal with the same issues. The truth is that the tongue, our words, at times can be duplicitous. It can be damaging. And so damaging that do not represent who we are in Christ. They do not represent who we were called to be in God. We've all been there, right? We've all been in places where we said something or that we wish we didn't. So how do we fix it? How do we get better with our words? How do we take steps to make sure that 2019 can be a different year? A year where we change how we speak, a year where we can be more positive, where we can be better with our words. Jesus said these words. Luke chapter 6, verse 43, and then we're going to read verse 45. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. And the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. Up until now, Jesus could have been talking about anything. But here he brings context. I think it's interesting that he brings this. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. His mouth speaks. I find it very interesting that Jesus presents as the first evidence or the main evidence of somebody's heart, their speech. We will say what's on the inside. We will say what's on the inside. So there's a direct connection between your speech and your heart. There's a direct connection between your mouth and your heart. Not physically, not biologically, that would be weird. But when it comes to your spirit, to your person, to your soul, there's a direct connection. And the good news is this, our hearts can get better. Our hearts can get better. Our soul can get better. The place that flows the issues of life, the wellspring of your life, can get better. So I want to give you a few tips today on how to get better in that area of your life this year. Number one, speak blessings. Speak blessings. Now, some of you didn't grow up in an environment that was positive or that practice this. Some of you might have grown up in a family environment that was outspoken, and the outspoken of characteristic of the family was always sharp. It was always in your face, always direct, and often under the guise of I speak my mind, I'm honest, right? And you might have heard difficult things, you might have heard things that were mean, you might have heard things that hurt you. Things that were shared in anger or maybe in pride. And without noticing, it might have shaped how you speak now. And sometimes you'll say things and go like, whoa, that's what I used to hear. That's what I used to listen. That's how we used to interact. Or maybe you get into a relationship and people take a step back and say, hey, you're a bit intense when it comes to that part of your life. And you didn't realize it until you had a second set of eyes looking at you and saying and pointing to that specific area of your life. I'm not talking about personality. I'm not talking about cultural background or family heritage. I'm talking about the choice of words. Because you can speak your mind, you can be direct, and you can be honest from a place of resentment, from a place of bitterness, from a place of pain. Or you can be direct, you can be honest, you can speak your mind with a positive, upbuilding, loving heart. And that's where we want to get to, right? Colossians chapter 4, verse 6 says this, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. See, the scripture is not asking you to change your personality. The scripture is not asking you to change your heritage or your background. It's just asking you to change your words. In other words, pay attention to your words. Choose to bless. Choose to uplift. Choose to encourage. And since we are in this topic of family, let me bring this other one in, especially for close relationships. I would encourage you in 2019 to make a decision to not have fights, but to have discussions. To be passionate discussions in occasions, but not to be so combative and to have fights. This is why most of the meaningful conversations you will have this year will be with people who are close to you, people who care about you. The same is true for hurtful conversations, for hurtful interactions. And this is what happens. I read about this neuroscience research this week that showed this, that when someone else is riled up about something, and they really care about that something, and you show evidence that they are wrong, and you bring actual evidence that goes against to what they believe, they put MRI scans on people's brains to measure the brain activity. And when they are presented with evidence that goes against what they believe, when they really care, when they are passionate about, in the moment of passion, the area of the brain that deals with logic shuts down. And the regions of the brain that are associated with aggression light up. Basically, in the heat of the moment, if you try to solve an issue, your brain is not ready for rational discussions. It's ready for fighting. Because as far as your brain is concerned, this is a fight. This is war. So you're telling me to go take out the trash right now? This is not the time. I'll do it when I want to. And that becomes a whole thing, right? So decide to recognize it, because that's not the optimal time to solve the problem. Take an advice from Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1 says this: a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So in the heat of the moment, you know, whether it's your spouse or a friend or family member or a co-worker, if you sense it, you see it, and you can sense it, you know, you can look at them. A better strategy instead of fighting it and engaging in that discussion is to take a step back and calmly say, you know what? I sense that you're angry right now, or I sense that you might be disappointed right now. Let's take a step back. I hear you. I want to talk. I want to solve this problem right now. But we're not going to get anywhere while we are riled up. Let's just take a step back, take a few minutes, regroup, because I want to solve. I want to engage it. I don't want us to hurt each other. Let's not do that. Be the bigger person. Let it go for a moment, and then decide to have discussions and have a good conversation. You know, maybe you are new to this. Maybe speaking blessings and choosing to bless somebody with your words is new to you. Here's where you can start. You can start with gratitude. You can start by observing when people bless you, when they are good to you, and be intentional about your gratitude. Here's something that you could start. Something that I want to do, and I'm actually looking to do more this year. Write more thank you notes. Think about what somebody did for you, and then write them a note. Say, hey, that really helped me. Hey, you really blessed me. How awesome would it be for you to start the year right now writing thank you notes to people who blessed you in 2018? Look at them and say, hey, I wouldn't have gotten to 2019 if it weren't for you, man. I wouldn't have gotten here if it weren't for you, my friend, ma'am. I wouldn't have gotten to where I am. 2018, whether it was a hard year or a good year or a blessed year, you were part of it, and I'm better for it. I'm a better person today because of what you did for me last year. So thank you. I appreciate you. This is what gratitude will do. As you're making that list, as you're listing the positive impact that people have had in your life, you're not only blessing them with your gratitude, you're not only speaking blessings over them as you say, thank you, you are so generous, you are so kind, you were so great, but you are counting your blessings as well. And you're reframing your mind to see the positive and not just the negative. That's one way that you can do that. Very practical for all of us here. That's why gratitude is important. The second thing, so speak your blessings is the first. Second thing, speak by faith. You got to say it before you see it. Whatever it is that you want to see happen in 2019, whatever God put in your heart, begin to say it. Begin to say it before you see it. Scriptures in Romans chapter 4, verses 16 and 17 tell us about Abraham and what kind of faith Abraham had. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, talking about Abraham, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, which is all of us, who is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of God, in whom he believed, watch this, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. What do you want to see different this year? What are some of the things that you want to see happen in your life? What are some of the things that you are believing for? Begin to call it. Use the God method. Call the things that do not exist as though they existed. Begin to call the things into existence, things that do not exist. You got to say it before you see it. Say it before you see it. I know that this year, we will see many people receive their life with God right here at Connect Community. We're going to see marriages restored. We're going to see people freed from addictions. We're going to see people who are in the hold of depression, in the claws of depression, get freed and receive joy in their hearts. We're going to see transformation right here in this place. You apply this principle to your life as well. What do you want to see come to pass in your life? You got to say it before you see it. Which leads me to my third point. You got to speak truth. Decide that this year will be a year you will speak truth. Now, for some of you, you need to reprogram what you see as truth. You got to reprogram your life because there are things that you believe that have influenced your speech. Things that you believe about yourself. Things that you believe about your circumstance. Things that you believe about where you are right now in your life. It might be something that you were told. It might be something that was repeated in your mind and you replayed that tape again and again and again. And for you, it sounds like it's true, but it's not true at all. See, things that in your perception, they might be true because you've believed it for a long time. And maybe your words even might reveal it. They're not positive things. They are things that keep you down. You might say, I'm so lazy. I'm so slow. I'm not that smart. I'm not a good learner. I'm fickle. I'm irresponsible. I'm not good with people. I'm not good with relationships. I'm inconsistent. Even if you don't say these things verbatim, even if you don't repeat these things out loud, when you're presented with a situation, when you're presented with a challenge, when you're presented with something, and you say, no, I can't. Or you say, no, I don't really like that. No, that's not me. No, I'm not made for that. And as you're saying on the inside, something is telling you, yes, you are, you could do it. Man, and you actually desire it, but your words keep you from taking that step. Your words keep you from going beyond those limits. You might not be saying I'm weak. You might not be saying I can't do it. You might not be saying I'm inconsistent or I'm not good with relationships. But whatever you're saying, even though it's vague, is confirming what you believe in on the inside. And that needs to change. I believe that today is your day for breakthrough. Today is the day where Jesus can come into your heart and change some of those mentalities and change some of those things that you might believe about yourself. Because when he walks into your life, there's freedom. This is what Jesus himself said, John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. See, he is the truth. And when he is in your life, he shows you the truth about yourself as well. And some of those things that you might have believed and maybe repeated, whether specifically or in vague terms about yourself, need to be reprogrammed this year. And this is when you begin to speak His word. This is when you begin to speak what He says about you. So speak His word. Begin to say, I am the head, I'm not the tail. I'm above, I'm not beneath. I'm the light of the world. I am a city set on a hill. I can do all things through Christ. I am joyful. I am strong. I'm a peacemaker. I am restored. I'm redeemed. I'm forgiven. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives on the inside of me. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. When you begin to say and speak those things, something begins to change on the inside. Even the image that you have of yourself begins to change. And you begin to be transformed from the inside out. You got to say it before you see it. See, that's why we encourage you to read the scriptures. That's why we sing songs of victory. Like the song we just sang, I know breakthrough is coming. My God made me a promise and He will not fail. He has never failed. He will not start now. See, when you begin to declare Jesus' words, something begins to change. And when His word gets on the inside of you, you become unstoppable. When it comes to words, when it comes to what we speak, we are all on the same plane. Whether you've been walking with God for a long time, or maybe you just walked into church today for the first time. Whether you've been doing this for a while and life has been a string of blessings, and you've been going from blessing to blessing to blessing, and your life is good. Or whether you've had a challenging life, and you've had difficulties upon difficulties upon difficulties. You have today. Each day is new. And each day you can choose the words you're going to speak. Are they going to be words of defeat? Or are they going to be words of victory? Are you going to speak blessing? Or are you going to speak curse? Let me encourage you today to decide that 2019 will be a year where you will speak life. Where you will speak gratitude. 2019 will be a year where you will speak blessings, you will bless others, where you will speak by faith, where you will speak the truth, not the truth that was deposited in your heart that's not really true, but the truth, the word of God in your life. See, He gave you of His own word and the freedom to use it. So use it for good and let's make it a great year. Do you receive it this morning? Amen. Amen.